Psalms chapter 18 this evening. This entire chapter is David's song of deliverance from his enemies. And of course, Saul was one of his enemies. And this psalm, by the way, is very, very similar in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Let me read the first three verses. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight again for thy blessings upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, tonight we pray for thy help in this chapter and pray for the leading of thy Holy Spirit. We pray for, Lord, your anointing upon, again, reading thy truth. And we pray that by thy Spirit that you speak to us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've been in somewhat of a series, as I mentioned, on Wednesday night. We're going to get back into another book study before too long. We'll finish up a few more character studies also. We've just been looking at some things to strengthen our faith in the Lord. I'm going to title the message here this evening, "My God." We see in verse 2, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And we find here that the psalmist in verse 2 lists eight things in one verse, eight things showing divine attributes and various blessings to God's people. And so we want to focus in. I want to say a few things about some other verses here, but we want to focus in on verse 2. But notice that in verse 3 and 4, we see here that David had many enemies. He said in verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." He said, "The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of the ungodly men, rather, made me afraid." And he speaks of his distress in verse 6. In verse 17, he says, "And he delivered me from my strong enemies, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." Throughout this chapter, we see this. And again, if you go back and just read 2 Samuel, maybe this week, chapter 22, you'll find that the entire chapter there, they're just so similar. In other words, we find, again, this is referred to as David's song, and we see his deliverance from not only the hand of his enemies, but Saul as well. Saul was one of his enemies. And notice with me in verse 50. It says here in verse 50, "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." So this is a tremendous chapter, and we need the Lord's protection, and we see that all through this chapter. And we find that this is David's testimony of victory. And we find that he has victory in God. And verses 1, 2, and 3 basically is a declaration of his trust in the Lord. Verses 4 through 19, I'm going to read some of those verses. It speaks of his deliverance and some apocalyptic language. Verses 20 through 28, we see the integrity of God. Verse 29 through 45, he gives God glory. And then in verses 46 through 50, again, he's thanking God for deliverance. And before we get into verse 2, I want you to notice something. Come down with me, and let's begin reading from verse 6 to around verse 17. And I want you to notice there's a lot of apocalyptic language here. And what we mean is, is that it doesn't necessarily have to be literal, but it's language that's showing the greatness of God. In other words, showing His power, His strength, His majesty, His glory, His rule over all things. And the word apocalypse means to reveal something hidden. The Greek word for revelation is apocalyptus. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. And that's where we get apocalypse. When we talk about apocalyptic language, we're talking about it describes this disaster and destruction, maybe upon nations or individuals, in language such as, and let me put it this way, this like the sun being darkened, or the moon not given her light. And many times when we see the sun, moon, and stars in reference to shining, many times it's talking about good times. But when we see the sun, moon, and stars referenced in Scripture as far as darkened or darkness, many times it's referring to bad times. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6, but what you're going to see as we read this, the things described here are the earth, the hills, the mountains shook, smoke out of the nostrils of God, fire out of His mouth, the heavens bow, God rode on the cherub, He flew up on the wings of the wind, hail, water, coals of fire, thundering, lightning, and more. And so these do not necessarily have to all be literal. And if they were literal, you'd be looking for them in 2 Samuel, and you'd be saying, well, where did all of this happen when David is running from his enemies or fighting his enemies and God saves him? Or even with Saul, we've read much in the Old Testament about his encounters with Saul, and we did not literally see these things take place. But still, this is great language describing the power and the glory and the majesty of God, and that He rules over all things. So we must look at it that way. As a matter of fact, it even says in verse 5 that He came down. And again, we find that this language that we're going to read sounds like it's the end of the world, but it describes a past event. Now let's read some of this. And again, 2 Samuel, just make a note of that. David says that this refers to his deliverance from his enemies. And Saul, King Saul, was one of his enemies. Now, I'm going to be reading from verse 6, and just notice how that, again, David describes this in language. Hey, by the way, this is language that brings God all the glory and honor. He says here in verse 6, he said, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, and he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." Now, all of that, the Lord can do all of that literally, you know. Well, I don't know about literally all of it, because it speaks of smoke coming out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth and so forth. But the thing about it is, David is describing, this happens all through the Scriptures. Describe, the day of the Lord is mentioned many times in this way. When Babylon was destroyed, according to Isaiah 13, it's referred to as the day of the Lord, very graphic language with the sun, moon, and stars, and the mountains and so forth. And so David is using this type of language, apocalyptic language, to say, look here, this is how great that my God is. And that's what he's saying. Now notice in verse 1, he said, he starts off, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. When's the last time you told the Lord you loved him? Amen? John chapter 14, verse 15, to love the Lord is to keep his commandments. In Mark 12, verse 30, we're to love the Lord with all of our being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we find that in Psalms 119, if you're taking notes, Psalms 119, that again, David is the writer. In Psalms 119, verse 97, he said, O how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And so we see here that David begins in saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now notice the eight things, and we'll just briefly go through these. We've done this in the past. But eight things showing divine attributes and blessings. First thing we find here in verse 2 is that he says, the Lord is my rock. This is how he began. The Lord is my rock. This speaks of stability and safety and permanence. Obviously, it speaks of greatness and that which is unchangeable or unmovable. In verse 46 of this same chapter, he says here, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. You'll notice as we turn to and hold on to our text here, as we turn to chapter 62, in chapter 62, I'm going to read the ones in Psalms, maybe one in Isaiah, and I'll just give you reference to some others. We sing the hymn of Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We find that in Exodus 33:22 that the cleft of the rock, Moses was hid in that while God passed by. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, it says, God is our rock. And this here is a psalm of David, but in Deuteronomy, it is a song of Moses. And we found that Moses gives testimony of the righteousness of God and testimony against those that break his commandments in that chapter. It's literally called the Song of Moses. In Psalms chapter 62, notice with me in verse 27. Don't have 27 verses here. Notice verse 6 and 7. He says here, and this psalm starts with waiting upon the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 6 and 7. He said, and he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And so we see many times, about 40 times in the Bible, that the Lord is referred to as a rock. And there's a tremendous meaning behind it. It speaks of support, that which we can stand upon. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And also speaks of safety, as Moses was hid in the cliff of the rock. And so he begins here in our text that the Lord, he said, is my rock. Notice with me in Psalms 27. Psalms 27, that may be where I got the 27 from. But notice in Psalms 27, and then these are just a few, but there's many throughout the Holy Scriptures that speak of this. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse 5, he said, "In the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." In other words, if you can picture a rock, a foundation, just put your mind up on that. And this is what God is like. Now notice with me in Isaiah, reading in Isaiah chapter 28. You'll find in Isaiah 32:2, a rock and a weary land. Isaiah chapter 28. I think we sing this song, don't we, Brother Avery? Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 28, one verse, in reference to Messiah. The Lord Jesus is also referred to as the rock, as a stone, as the chief cornerstone. In verse 16 he said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." See, when you think of a rock, you think of a foundation, that which is solid, that which can be depended upon. And then he says, "And he that believeth on him," let me back up, "and he that believeth shall not make haste." In other words, those who believe on the Lord and they're established and planted upon this rock, they will not make haste. They will not take flight when trouble comes, or they shall not be ashamed or doubt the Lord in disappointment and confusion when they walk through this life's journey. Now go back with me, please, to Psalms chapter 18. And notice the second thing that we find here. He said that, first of all, the Lord is my rock. And then he said, the Lord is my fortress and my fortress. See that word again in verse 50. Fortress is a place fortified, a place of defense, as a military construction used in defense and warfare, like a military base. And these forts may not mean a lot to people today, but Fort Gaines and Fort Morgan that we have real close to us here, back at one time, that fortification would keep the enemy out. And so this is like a hedge or a wall. And Psalms 91, I will read just a verse or two there. I may come back in a week or so and preach from Psalms 91. But we find in Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2, he said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," that is to lodge, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." So again, we see here the ideal of a fortress and God being that for us. And even in the New Testament, when we speak of our salvation, our eternal life, our election, and our inheritance, in 1 Peter 1:5, it says we are kept by the power of God. And so we also find, if you're taking notes, in Psalms 142 and Psalms 142, verse 2, he said, speaking of the Lord, "My goodness and fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Again, we see these words and these synonyms used over and over. This is the way that they describe the Lord in terms, back in Psalms 18 now, they describe the Lord in terms of that He is our rock. And by the way, that'll work in any century or any age. You know, if you don't know what a rock is, you need to find one. Amen. And check it out. That'll work in any society, in any age. So He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." In other words, He's our garrison. He's our hedge. He's our wall. He's our fort. He fortifies us. When we think in that way, there's nothing that can penetrate to us unless God allows it. And then the next thing you notice, the third thing, is that He is my deliverer. And you'll see that again in verse 50. But notice with me as we come to Psalms 40. In Psalms 40. He is my deliverer. God has delivered His people many times over the centuries. We can go back and we think of the Red Sea. Great deliverance. Enemy destroyed. The same waters that divided, that saved God's covenant people, those same waters destroyed God's enemies and the enemies of His covenant people. We think about David writing here, "The Lord is my deliverer." We think about him about 17 years of age, destroyed Goliath, the giant. The Lord delivered him out of the hands. He's our deliverer from our sin. He'll deliver us from our own selves, and He'll deliver us from our enemies. Now notice in Psalms chapter 40, and first of all, let me read in verse 17, then I want to back up and read the first four verses. He says here in verse 17, and this again we believe to be David, and he said, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Think about this. He said, "I am poor and needy." We must look at ourselves that way. And he says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Have you ever sat down and thought about how much that the Lord thinketh upon us as His children? As a parent, parents are always thinking of their children. They're always thinking of them even after they're grown. Then they're thinking of their children's children. We got two of our sitting here tonight. And so they're thinking of their children's children and praying for them. I mean, Job was praying for all of his children when they were out of his house. And so we find here that the Lord thinks upon us and meditates upon us. Now, back up with me beginning in verse 1. He says here in verse 1, again, David writing, we believe. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." There's that word again. "And established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." The Lord saved him out of a horrible pit, whatever that was. David was in many circumstances that no mortal man could get out of, with the enemies from the Philistines to even his own nation and King Saul. He was in many, many different circumstances. And he said the Lord delivered him, but the Lord also put a new song in his mouth. We sing those new songs. Put a new song in his mouth. Go back with me now to our text. In Psalms 18, the next thing that we find here, and this is the title of my message tonight, "My God." I couldn't think of a better title. "My God." In other words, David is saying, and you can say this tonight if you're saved, he's saying that God belongs to me, and I belong to Him. Now, I'm thinking about doing another message, probably been 10 years ago, on that covenant relationship. And that He's not everybody's God. You get out on the street and talk to people, and everybody talking about God. He's not everybody's God. He told Abraham in Genesis 17, the first 10 verses, He said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you." And then He says, "I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people." So He's not everybody's God. He's everybody's God that has made a covenant with Him. That is, that have put their faith and trust in Him. But He doesn't belong to everybody, even though He's their Creator. But we're talking about covenant relationship here. And we would find this again, and you can write some of these passages down. Psalm 62:11, we find Let me read in Psalms 63:1. I'll give you those other verses in just a moment. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Here's David again. He says, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Notice he said, O God, thou art my God. Now here's the thing about that. We find that in Ephesians 2, verses 11, 12, and 13, we find that before salvation, that an individual is without hope and without God. And only in Christ and through His blood are we brought nigh unto God, and peace is made between us and God Himself. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 11, Peter writes, he said, you're a holy nation, and you're a royal priesthood. There's some other terminologies that are given there. But he says, in time past, you were not a people. You were not God's people. We find in Revelation 7, verse 15 and verse 17, God dwells among His people, and so does the Lamb, especially in a heavenly setting. So, when we come back here to Psalms chapter 18, when He says that He is my God, this is covenant relationship language here. And so David knew his God. He was saved by grace. And he had his faith in God, and so he had a relationship with Him. But notice the next thing we find in our text, that he says, He is my strength. He is my strength. Now, I'm gonna read a passage. You can turn there if you want. I want to read a passage. We have preached on this text a number of times over the years. Psalms 118. I want to read one verse that goes along with this. And the verse I'm going to read in Psalms 118 is mentioned this way three times in the Bible. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter, I believe it's chapter 15, verse 2, coming out of Egypt, the Exodus. Mentioned again in Isaiah 12 and verse 3. But notice what he said. He said, "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation." That verse is mentioned three times in her Bible. God said, I want you to get it. You know, I want you to get a hold of that. And so what we find here when we come to this, we see that he says, he is my strength. My strength is not only his God, but my strength. When I read through just Psalms alone, I'm going to give you some other verses, but just in Psalms alone in chapter 27, you see, these are the verses that if we will embrace, these are the verses that gets us through failing in our faith or looking at the circumstances around us. And he says here in chapter 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Over and over and over again, we see that the Lord is our strength. We find that in chapter 28, Psalms chapter 28 in verse 7, he said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him." David was a warrior. We read that throughout the scriptures. But David is saying that his strength was not in himself. Was not in himself. Even in Psalms 46 and verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." God is our strength. And then again in chapter 59 and verse 17. Now here's some other verses we find in Psalm 62:11. I started to give that a moment ago. We find that power belongeth unto God. Now I want you to think about that. In Zechariah 4:6, in the captivity, coming out of the captivity of Babylon, going back to rebuild the temple, we find there that it's not by might or power, but by God's Spirit. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, we are to glory in His might. Most of us glory in our own might. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." In Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to turn there and read. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read this at least a number of times every year. I want to read from verse 28, and I want you to listen. The word strength is used two or three times here. And notice the importance of this. He said in verse 28, he said, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is no searching, there is rather no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now you could apply that physically, but mainly spiritually. As we walk through this world, we get our eyes off the Lord. And it's very easy to become weak and faint and get disheartened and want to give up. But if we embrace the things that we see in the Scripture and seek the daily filling of the Holy Spirit, then we will have this strength and this deliverance in our God. Here's some other verses if you just want to write them down. In Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. In Ephesians 3:16, it says to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Most of you got that put to memory. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul said, and his Christian life, his ministry, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the Apostle is speaking of spiritual strength that he received from the Lord. And again, I'm telling you, when we walk and rub shoulders with this world and on our life's journey as pilgrims and strangers, if we don't meditate upon this thing, this truth, this book, we'll become very weak spiritually. In our walk for the Lord, we'll become very weak. And that, when we become weak, that'll cause us to become weary. And we'll want to give up and we'll want to quit. Now the next thing in chapter 18 in verse 2, notice as we come here, he said, he is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. Then he says, my buckler. This is a kind of a shield, a piece of defense, armor, and, you have the word shield and buckler, so it's probably a larger type shield. I don't know that positively. I think there's the same Hebrew word is translated both ways. But we find that shields, whether it be a small shield that's held in the hand, or the large shield, which may be what this is, and we find these words mentioned several times in Scripture. Matter of fact, this word is mentioned again in verse 30. And so there were different types of shields. There's shields that was placed on the arm. There's shields that were held in the hand. And then there were the tall shields, kind of remind you of a door that would kind of cover the entire... You've seen pictures or drawings that would kind of cover your entire body. That may be what this type of shield is right here. 2 Samuel 23:31 speaks of, I think, the small shield. And you got Psalms 35 and verse 2. And again, there's countless of passages that speak of this. And we know the importance of protecting our body. Now, we can talk in a physical sense or in the spiritual sense. And obviously, David was protected physically, but is also protected spiritually. And I wore body armor before, helmets to face shields to bulletproof vest and dealing with riot control and things of that nature. Wore these things. I remember, and I've told you the story, I remember in the 70s and 7 days in Memphis, Tennessee with a riot, and they put about 2,500 soldiers, National Guard, on the streets and pulled a lot of guard duty, and some of us kind of wanted to complain. I don't know about nowadays, but back then, the bulletproof vests were quite heavy and quite hot in the summer. And you kind of had the tendency to want to complain about face shield, helmets, and all of the stuff that we were putting on. But when you stood guard duty, 4 and 5 and 6 hours at night, and would have about 20 or 30 guns pulled on you or stuck out a window at you and people cursing you, you thought, you know what, this thing is not too heavy after all. And it's not really that hot. I kind of like it. You know, you kind of adapted to that and said, you know, I want that. And that's what David is saying here. He said, the Lord is my buckler. In other words, he's my shield. He is my protection. And notice the next thing he says here. He says, and the horn of my salvation. Horn in the Bible is a symbol of power and strength and also authority. If you want a passage, it's Luke 1, verse 69. Jesus became our horn of salvation. When Zechariah, he gives testimony after John the Baptist is born. That's going to be in Luke chapter 1 and verse 69. In the surrounding verses, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. Jesus Christ is called the horn of salvation for us. And also, again, this word symbolizes power and strength, but it also symbolizes authority, king sometimes. Jesus was a king. Also, kings are called horns as well. And I think you'd find that in Daniel 7 and also in Daniel chapter 8. Well, notice with me, and by the way, the horns of an animal. We've all been around animals that had horns. The horns of an animal is their defense and is used to push back the enemy or anything that would come against them. So just think about that when you think about horns. I have a small one laying up here, a shofar. And behind me, there's one sermon I was going to blow that and I backed out on it. I was afraid I couldn't get nothing out of it. I practiced and it worked. But you know how it is when you get in front of people? Sometimes it don't work. So I had it up here and I've been blowing on it a couple of days and I can't remember which sermon it was. And I just kind of backed out. I said, I'll get up here and can't get a thing out of it. And that'll mess my whole sermon up. All right, one other thing. Now, notice one other thing here. He says in the latter part of this passage, in my high tower. In other words, again, a place of refuge, a place where the enemy cannot reach. They can't get to it. Beyond reach of danger, to get above the things of this world if we want to bring it into a spiritual arena. And I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll close there as I give you two other verses. We just mentioned Psalms 46:1, but in Isaiah chapter 26, you can just jot that passage down. In Isaiah chapter 26, we've read it many, many times over the years. Let us learn to put our trust always in the Lord for all things, because he said in verse 3 and 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. All right, now notice in Proverbs chapter 18, and I just want to read one verse, if you'll turn there with me, and we'll close here. We're talking about my high tower. Again, a place of refuge, a high place where the enemy cannot penetrate and cannot reach. And if we want to bring it into a spiritual arena, it's things, God's got us in a place higher than the things of this world. God has got us covered from all sides. He says here in Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 10, he said, the name of the Lord, now think of it, think about this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And again, when we look at these passages and these verses, these ought to bring great strength and encouragement to our hearts as believers. That God thinketh upon us. He meditates upon us. And He loves us. He is not only our Creator, but He also is our Redeemer. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy love, Your mercy, Your grace to us. We thank You for the privilege to be able to assemble together here tonight. We pray Your blessing upon the remaining of the service, the singing, and as we kneel together and pray again. And Lord, I pray that You would take these words from Thy Scripture and by Thy Holy Spirit burn those in our hearts. Lord, help us to think upon these things. Help us to meditate upon these things. Lord, help us to trust You. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.